the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation. May
we always dwell on this land with respect and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, on the Holy Mount, you revealed to chosen witnesses your well-beloved Son, wonderfully transfigured. Mercifully deliver us from the darkness of this world and change us into his likeness, from glory to glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The first reading, Exodus chapter 24, verse 12 on through 18, a reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there. I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set up with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders, he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. The second reading, a reading from the second letter of Peter. En effet, ce n'est pas en nous mettant à la traîne des fables sophistiquées que nous vous avons fait connaître la venue puissante de notre Seigneur Jésus-Christ, mais pour l'avoir vu de nos yeux dans tout son éclat. Car il reçut de Dieu le Père honneur et gloire quand la voix venue de la splendeur magnifique de Dieu lui dit, « Celui-ci est mon Fils bien-aimé, celui qu'il m'a plu de choisir. » Et cette fois, nous-mêmes, nous l'avons entendu venant du ciel quand nous étions avec lui sur la montagne sainte. De plus, nous avons la parole des prophètes qui est la solidité même sur laquelle vous avez raison de fixer vos regards comme sur une lampe brillante dans un lieu obscur jusqu'à ce que luise le jour et que l'étoile du matin se lève dans vos cœurs. Avant tout, sachez-le bien, aucune prophétie de l'Écriture n'est affaire d'interprétation privée. En effet, ce n'est pas la volonté humaine qui a jamais produit une prophétie. Mais c'est porté par l'Esprit Saint que des hommes ont parlé de la part de Dieu. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
God be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of Christ. May the dazzling brightness of God's light shine through us. Amen. This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. I hope you remember that this is not the first time we've heard these words, because they are the same words from God when Jesus was baptized. And it's interesting that they are repeated. So I found I've been thinking about why we repeat things. I wonder if you have thought about why this one would be repeated. And the thought came to me, well, he hadn't called his disciples yet when he was baptized. So this is actually the first time they're hearing God say, "This is my beloved Son." Oh, even though it's the second or maybe manyth time that we are hearing it. Some things are worth repeating. In this case, the disciples had not yet been disciples when it was first said. It's inclusive to say things again to bring people on board who weren't there earlier. Also, this time that God says it, it moves into listen to him. And it's not in our reading today, but the next thing that will happen is Jesus will predict his coming death on the cross. And so this version of "This is my beloved Son" propels us into a deeper understanding of what that love is going to mean. And third, this whole idea of being beloved is so important that it is worth repeating again and again. So repetition. This bathing with light comes up in our readings today. Sometimes our readings go off in all different directions, but it's here and very present. Jesus is glowing with light, but we have that prior to Jesus, Moses was glowing with light as he went up to receive the commandments. And Moses wasn't glowing with his own light. He was glowing with the reflected glory of God. And we might then ask, okay, is this the same? Is Jesus glowing with the reflected glory of God? Or is God so fully in him that he's just glowing with the nature of God that is in him? The theme and the phrase, "This is my beloved," is also repeated in the letter, the second letter of Peter. And here we're reminded that it's not about spin or sophisticated talk. This was an eyewitness. Peter was an eyewitness to what has happened. Now, biblical studies has proposed to us that the second letter of Peter was probably chronologically one of the last books of the New Testament that was written. And so perhaps it's carrying that memory, but later committed to papyrus. So why do we repeat? We repeat to be inclusive. We do it here too. There are new people among us. Sometimes we don't even realize it, but there are. There are new people among us, and so we say things again so that we can all be up to speed together. We can be on the same page. You know, these phrases that say we want to be aligned, we want to have a shared community language. And as the second letter of Peter says, no prophecy of Scripture is up to individual interpretation. We want to have a shared interpretation of what God means to us, a shared journey accompanying God. So let me do some repeating of some of our church life. We are in a season that we call the Sundays after Epiphany, but in fact, it is an Epiphany season. And so you heard in a sermon right at the beginning, at the time of the Epiphany, as the wise men coming to the baby Jesus, of Jesus being baptized, that this is a season of readings where revelation, showing forth, manifesting the glory of God comes up each Sunday. And we are at the final Sunday of those manifesting readings. It's a bookend to the baptism one that began it. And it's a transition to Lent. And you'll hear more about Lent and Ash Wednesday later on. But this story moves us, propels us into a journey with Jesus. I want to repeat something from the newsletter. This is Kindness Week. It is that because Rabbi Bulka and a number of other people began Kindness Week in Ottawa, and it has spread across Canada. I participated in a symposium on kindness led by our mayor this week, and I really had the impression that we are not alone in caring about our neighbors, in caring about goodness in our community. We have all kinds of allies in community organizations, in other faiths, in goodwill people who are our neighbors. We don't have to agree on everything to work together and support each other. That's important for the kind of church that we are. We don't do this alone. We are reaching out as a collaboration. We also repeat events. And so this is our third year of formally doing an experience of Black History Month. We have had a longer history of African folks in our congregation, so from Ethiopia and Sudan, and more recently from Burundi, Rwanda, Uganda, Tanzania. And so over these past 2.5 years, you'll recall that there have been pictures of people in our newsletter, and they are part of our community now. You've heard people read, you've seen them serving even today, showing the deep depth of the relationships we hope to have. But things have changed for especially the newer folks who have come from Africa, in that they now have jobs at crazy hours. And so we don't see them as often, but we know that they are part of us. You will hear them in the music today. You maybe are already friends with some of the newer folks from Africa, and I encourage you to be and to go deeper into these friendships. I have experienced this as the one who is writing reference letters for jobs and for the immigration board and character references, and I hope that this has been to a good effect. We are doing this because the goodness God calls to us to be, is meant to be shared. It's meant to include. It's meant to draw in. We repeat things because we don't want anyone to miss out. We want to be inclusive because we want to deepen in our commitment, and because they're important. And so you say things important that are important again and again so that you start to own them. So I want to add a little bit to what Jesus says and what God says. God says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He's the first one in the New Testament of whom God says this. But who's the first that Jesus says God loves? Well, it isn't a person, it's the world. For God so loved the world. Not just the perfect people, not just the church, not only the saints, although I'm sure God loves the perfect people and the church and the saints. But God so loved the world includes the isolated, the fearful, the unlovable, at least in some of the opinions of some, and each of us. It isn't enough to say we are the beloved because we join in with Jesus. It is fantastic to say that. But we add to that that God is calling us to join in on this loving of the world, this increasing of the love that there is by adding to it. We are to be God's Valentine to the world. We are called to spread love. A few specific things about how we might do that. There was someone who commented to me, it was a little while ago, that they walked by our church on a Friday night and there was dancing in the church. Where was the altar? How could they do that? So I've, you know how, maybe you don't, I'm an introvert. I think of the perfect responses a few days later. And then, you know, I can let the next person who says it have it. I think it's perfect that there's dancing in the church because it gives the message that everyone can feel safe here. So it's Raheem's dancing school. It's been here 18 years. He asked me to come on a Friday night because it was their 18th anniversary. And so he handed me the microphone and got everyone to stop dancing. And I said to them,
that this person had said this to me, and I was glad they were here, and I want them to remember that this is always a safe place for them. It moved my thinking along about how we think about our space, about what we mean by holy ground, that this is safe for you to be here and for everyone to be here. Secondly, as I mentioned, I was at the Kindness Symposium, and a part of the challenge was for people to say practically what they were going to do, because kindness doesn't just happen at all of a sudden everyone's kind. It's cumulative individual things. And so someone got up to the microphone and said, we all need to smile more. Because if you smile at someone on the bus, maybe they'll think you're weird, but maybe it will brighten the negative thoughts that they are carrying with them, and they'll do better at their day. You are God's Valentine to the world. Amen.
Creator of all, we celebrate your gift of love. Help us to be enriched by the rituals we have inherited that anchor and renew us, the totality of her provisions for us. We remember with you today those many places of conflict. We pray for peace. Help us to stay strong and loving when unsettling events in the daily news can rattle us.
We pray for peace within homes, families, and within our own hearts as we sing. For Canada, inspire our leaders to acknowledge the goodness of humankind and to bravely work to foster good government, making compassionate, values-based decisions and cooperating at all levels. Support us as we seek ways to be effective citizens. We pray for our reconciliation with the truths of our Indigenous history so that we can discover how to journey forward together as we sing.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We pray for those who have no place to stay, those who lack food, for those who seek work. Help them to remember that they are not alone. Help us to remember that we are not alone. We pray for the church worldwide and its leaders and members. We pray for those in leadership roles in our congregation, Gary, Alan, Christina, Pat, Nicholas, Kimberly, Carrie, Awit, Monica, Barb, and all who volunteer at St. John's. Guide the minds and hearts of those who will select our next bishop. We pray for all people, those whose spiritual practices are different from ours, and those who are searching. We pray for children and young people and their families. We pray for the sick, their loved ones, and their caregivers, especially Louis, Alan, and Ian and Alice. We ask that your love and comfort be felt by all of us and those close to our hearts. We pray for the departed, including Eke de Vries and Eri Virgin, honored by the flowers at the altar placed there by Emmy Verdun. Enfold all our departed in tender remembrance as we sing.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Heavenly, wonderful God, you meet us in flashes of clarity and long stretches of ordinary life. You reveal light on mountaintops and in the slow work of compassion. When we become distracted by shadows, steady our gaze. Teach us where to look. When the world feels dimmed by fear or noise, remind us that light has not left us. Give us the courage to walk down the mountain changed. Give us the patience to practice love step by step, and to be your Valentines. Amen.
Thank you.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Et que la paix de Dieu, qui surpasse toute intelligence, garde vos cœurs et vos esprits dans la connaissance et l'amour de Dieu et de son Fils, Jésus-Christ, notre Sauveur. Et la bénédiction de Dieu Tout-Puissant, Père, Fils et Saint-Esprit, descende sur vous et y demeure à jamais. Amen.
Amen.
To love and serve the Lord.